We'll be in John chapter 10 tonight, so let's go ahead and open there. Jesus had healed a blind man in John chapter 9. Not just any blind man, but a congenital birth defect, a man who'd never seen color, daylight, not once in his life. When he was healed, of course, Jesus kind of got in Dutch with the Pharisees because he did it on a Sabbath, and they didn't care for that. So they questioned the blind man, and when they'd heard his answer, they threw him out of the synagogue. They excommunicated him, disfellowshipped him. They told him to hit the road. He couldn't worship anymore. Jesus found the blind man, and he received him. And he believed in the Lord. Now Jesus spoke to some of the Pharisees who were there that day. And he said that he had done the things that he'd done and come into the world so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. The Pharisees asked him a question. They said, "What? Are we blind? Is that what you're saying?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have been okay. But since you say that you see and you don't, your sin remains with you." Well, now Jesus is going to teach these religious leaders about leadership in the kingdom of God. He's going to teach them about what it means to be a shepherd, what it means to care for God's people. When he does that, he's going to use a couple of terms. He's going to refer to himself as the door and as the good shepherd. So this is that good shepherd teaching. And typically when you hear it taught, it refers to Jesus as a shepherd, as someone who leads us and guides us and provides for us. But there's something in this passage that sometimes gets overlooked. There's a promise in here. It's not just the teaching about the shepherd, but it's a promise that's made to us. So I'm going to kind of focus tonight on that promise a little bit. And as I do, it makes you think of the promises that God delivers to you. Most of us like the promises of God. Not all of them. Like, remember the one about in this world you'll have tribulation? Okay, I don't wake up and claim that one in the morning, okay? Lord, problems, lay them on me. Come on, let me have it. Nah. But there's other promises. Promises that he will guide me and help me to lead my life. Promises that he'll provide for me everything I need in this life. Promises that he'll give me wisdom. Promises that he'll be with me. And those are good promises. So as we look at this one promise that so often gets overlooked here, I want you to think of three things tonight. And we'll cover all these things before we're finished. Number one, how does this work for me? How do I access the promises of God? Number two, who makes it work for me? Where do I have to go to pull this off? And number three, how do I know that this will work for me? So, we're going to pick up the story tonight in John 10. Jesus speaking to some of the Pharisees there. And he says these words. Speaking to religious leaders, teaching them about real leadership now in the kingdom of God, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." So Jesus does what he so often does. He kind of gives them a parable. And he talks to them about sheep and sheepfolds and shepherds. Now, in order to understand this, you got to realize something about how they would deal with sheep in the Middle East. You would have your sheep out in the fields by day, but then at night you would want to come to a place of safety. You know what happens to people who have cats in Taos and let them run out at night? The coyote chow is what they are. So in order to prevent that from happening to the sheep, they would build what's called the sheepfold. Stones stacked on each other, forming four walls for protection. with a break in one wall that you can enter through. And what would happen is there would be many shepherds out in the field. If David Romero were here today, he could tell you this because David was actually raised a shepherd. But they would take the sheep, all the many flocks that were out grazing during the day, and they would bring them into the sheepfold at night for protection. They would pass them in through the opening, and then the shepherd would lay down in the opening himself. There was no door on these things. And so with the sheep safely in the walls where the wolf can't come in, the shepherd would lay there. And no sheep could get out, and no wolf could come in. Now in the morning you'd wake up and you'd have a whole mess of sheep. All these different flocks all mingled together. And I don't know about you, but I can't tell sheep from sheep. I mean, I don't know how many sheep you've seen, but I mean, think of it. What do we got here? Prairie dogs, okay? If you tell me there's one prairie dog out there and I got to go get them, we're in so much trouble because they all look the same to me. So how is a shepherd going to get his sheep out of the sheepfold when they're mixed with all the other sheep? Well, it's simple. He simply comes to the door and calls them by name and they follow him out. Now, how does that work? The sheep know his voice. Why do they know his voice? Because during the day when he's taking the sheep through pasture land, finding them good places to drink, he's talking to them. Now today we have people who do that. In my day, if people talk to themselves, we kind of looked at you funny. But now we, you know, you turn one ear and you turn the other, we see the Bluetooth, and we know that you're really talking to someone. But the shepherd would talk to the sheep. He'd talk to them, he'd sing to them, he'd yell at them, he'd do all kinds of things with the sheep. So the sheep got to know the shepherd's voice. So if he were to walk up to the sheepfold and call, the only sheep that would come out would be the sheep that knew his voice. So all his sheep, every one to the last one, would come out. No other sheep would come out because he was a stranger to them. So the sheep would come out because they knew his voice. They wouldn't follow a stranger because they didn't know his voice. Now that was the way they cared for sheep. It says here in verse 1, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now think about that for a minute. If you got somebody coming to the sheepfold, and they weren't coming through you, through the opening, but they were sneaking over the back wall, what would you think? Up to no good. You know, if you see somebody walk up to your house and knock on the door and wait for an answer, well, you might think, I don't know, it's the census, it's a bill collector, it's a, who knows, a salesman, something. But if you see somebody jimmying the window on your house, what do you think now? They're up to no good. They're a thief. They're coming in, but they're not coming through the door. They're coming by another way. And Jesus here says, if they don't enter through the door, but they come up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now, he tells them how it works with sheep. But really what he's talking about is leadership, servanthood, religious authority in the kingdom of God. And how does it work in the kingdom of God? Well, number one, if you're a member of the flock, you're safe. The sheep couldn't get out. You're safe. But number two, the wolf couldn't get in. So once again, you're safe. And this is sort of one of those promises from God here. It's not the one I want to get to, but it's a promise, isn't it? Jesus promised, and he said this, he said, I haven't lost one that the Father's given me. So he's pretty good with sheep, isn't he? And he promises us that he'll never let any temptation come to us that's too great for us, but only what we can bear. And then he'll give us the strength to bear up under it. So when it comes to danger, he tells us that he protects us. Well, how does it work? There's the first question. How does this work for me? How do I access this kind of a promise from God? Well, remember what he just said. My sheep hear my voice. Why do the sheep hear the shepherd's voice? What is it? He spoke to them once or many times over a long period of time. They got to know the shepherd. Moms, think back to when the kids were just little bitty kids. You take them out on the playground. There's kids all over the place. And if you don't have a kid there that's your kid, you might look and you might say, how can you tell one from another? They're all kids. They're all over the place. But one kid falls, and it happens to be your kid, and you hear that kid's voice cry out. You are there, man. Your ear is tuned in. You hear it, and they got your attention. Why is that? You know their voice. You've heard it many times. So how do the promises from the shepherd work for us? You've got to hear his voice. That means you have to spend time with him. See, one of the things that Jesus is going to teach this group of Pharisees is that it's not enough to belong to a synagogue or a church. It's not enough to know the religious rules and try your best to keep them. It's not enough to be a good person. But you have to have a relationship with the shepherd. You have to have heard his voice many times, or just once if you're a brand new Christian. But you have to hear his voice. You know, there are many people who sit in churches, who have membership in churches, who know all the rules, who have never heard the shepherd's voice. They're not saved. They come into a church, they kill a couple of perfectly good hours sitting and getting nothing out of it. But the way that this works, the way you access the promises of God, is you're a part of his flock. And you've heard his voice, you know his voice, you will follow him. So the first question that I wanted you to think about tonight, how does this work? Here's how it works. You got to be part of the flock. You have to know his voice. You have to be born again. You have to belong to Jesus and be following him. And that means that if you're in the sheepfold, if you're a member of a local flock, a local congregation somewhere, there is only one way you could come in, only through the door. And that's what Jesus is going to teach them next. In verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Why do you suppose that was? They weren't sheep. They were Pharisees. They were religious leaders. But they didn't know his voice. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Now, the shepherd, of course, there was no door on the sheepfold. So the shepherd would bring the sheep in. Then he would lay his body down across the door. And any wolf that's planning on coming in is going to taste shepherd first. They had that staff, you know. Remember the from Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That rod and staff, they had a couple of purposes. If you were a sheep, it could be a comforting thing. If you were a wolf, it was hurt city, man. Because he knew how to use that staff. Well, now Jesus says to them, I am the door. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, who's he talking about when he says, all who ever came before me? Remember the context of what these verses are about, religious leadership. So all who ever came before him would be shepherds of a sort, but would they be true or false shepherds? False shepherds. Listen to something from the book of Ezekiel. Let me read to you from Ezekiel chapter 34. The word of the Lord here, verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, the religious leaders. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel. That word means bummer. Bummer to the false shepherds who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, Surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field. Because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. Whose flock? Lord continually referred to it as my flock. See, if you get to be a shepherd in God's flock, like some of us are, you got to remember whose sheep they are. They're not my sheep. They're His sheep. And He loves them. And if you don't feed them and if you don't care for them, He will require them from your hand, the Bible says. What's the distinguishing mark between a false shepherd and a true shepherd? Between a pastor who's ministering to God's flock and a pastor who's ministering to himself? The one spends his time taking care of sheep, meeting the needs, checking them out, seeing what's up in their lives, and making sure that they have what they need to walk solid with God. The other ones are just busy enjoying their position. Special parking, office of their own, nice paycheck. But that's not the way God is with His flock. In fact, if it was, the cross never would have happened, would it? Because that wouldn't have been convenient for the shepherd, you see. So he busts those false shepherds and he says, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So you catch somebody sneaking in the back door of your house, you know they're up to no good. You catch somebody coming over the sheepfold, not coming through Jesus, not saved, not in a relationship with Him, not hearing His voice. And they're trying to get at the sheep. Well, they're not there to take care of sheep. They're there to steal from the sheep, to kill sheep, and to eventually lead the sheep to destruction. Jesus says, that ain't me, man. He says, I came not to kill, not to steal, not to destroy. I came that they might have life. And that more abundantly than they have ever known it in their life before. I've came that they might live and really live. I'm the door. You come through me. If you don't come through me, you're not a part of the flock. So now I know how it works. You have to be in a relationship with the shepherd. You have to hear His voice. You have to be born again. Now, I also know who makes it work. It's Jesus. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to find pasture, to feed in such a way that I'll have eternal life? It doesn't mean you join a particular flavor of church, because every church I know is filled with people who aren't saved and who will not see the kingdom of God. Every church has people in it that are not saved, that don't know the shepherd's voice. So it ain't about joining a church. It's not about learning the rules and keeping the rules. It's about coming through Jesus. He's the door. If you try to slip over the wall, you're a thief and you're a robber. You're trying to take something that doesn't belong to you. If you come through the door, you're a sheep. You have a shepherd. You're part of His flock. You know His voice. And having come through the door, now you belong to Him. And you have eternal life. So now I know how it works. Now I know who makes it work. Let's look at the last part. How do I know it'll work for me? And here's that promise that I showed you, told you I would show you. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who's a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and doesn't care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. So Jesus now identifies himself as the shepherd. You know, that's another one of those claims that Jesus made that proves that he's God. Not many people would think that claiming to be a shepherd would make you God. But let me read you something here from Psalm 80. Psalm 80, verse 1. Listen to this. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. So in Psalm 80, the writer of the psalm was referring to the shepherd as the one who led Israel. But here's some more information about the shepherd. You who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Now we're studying the tabernacle on Sunday mornings, and we took a look at the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat over it with the cherubim, who between their wings, God comes and meets with the children of Israel. So when the Bible refers to the shepherd, it calls to him and it says, you who dwell between the cherubim. Who's that? That's God who dwells between the cherubim. So the shepherd, the one who dwells between the cherubim, is God. And Jesus just said, I'm the good shepherd. So there's another one of the many ways that Jesus identifies himself as God to us. And he says, I'm a shepherd, not a hireling. How many of you here have owned a business? Owned your own business? Had employees? Okay. Who cares more about your business? You or the employees? Of course. When it's quitting time, it doesn't matter what's left to be done. The employees want to go to the clock, punch the clock, lock the door, and go home. That's because they're employees. They're hirelings. And meanwhile, what are you doing? You're staying up late at night making sure the store's ready for the sale the next day. You're doing the taxes. You're doing the payroll reports. You're planning. You're thinking of how to make the store successful. Hey, listen, quitting time, cha-ching, the employee checks out. That's because he's hired to do a job. Same thing with shepherds. Jesus says that there are some over the flock who are hirelings. They're doing it for money. And you can usually tell those ones, they're not willing to lay their life down for the flock. Why should they? Why should they? It's not their flock. They're just doing a job. And so when it's quitting time, when the going gets tough, when the cross comes out and the Roman soldiers show up, ching, they punch their clock and they're out of there. They ain't going to die for sheep because they don't own sheep. Whereas the one who the sheep belong to, that one will lay down his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus did. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep, here's the promise. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And these will be one flock and one shepherd. Ah, promise from God. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and these I must bring. Now, who's he referring to? First of all, who's he speaking to? What nationality is the audience here? Jewish. So when he says to these Jewish people, when he says, sheep I have that are not of this flock, who's he referring to? Us. You and me. He's referring to a bunch of Gentiles who didn't happen to be Jewish, weren't in that flock. But he says, I have sheep. Now, I wasn't saved when he said that. Or was I? Because the Bible tells us that God has seen us from the foundations of the earth and called us and elected us. So Jesus had me in mind when he said this. And he had you in mind as well. If you're a believer, he was thinking of you when he said, other sheep I have which are not of this flock. These I must bring. How do you read that? These I must bring. If Jesus says, these I must bring, is he going to fail? Mm-mm. If he says he must bring them, what's happening to them sheep? They are getting brought, man. There ain't no two ways about it. See, this is a promise from God. How many has the Father given that he's lost? None. How many times has Jesus laid down in front of the sheepfold in the door and been the door himself, and a sheep got away or a wolf got in where he wasn't supposed to? Not once. And you see, this is something that the reputation of God rides on. You know, one of the reasons, I believe, why Satan hates the Jewish people so much and why he's doing so much to destroy them, the Bible tells us that in the last days, they will cry out to him. Remember what he said before he left? You won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, they're going to go hide in the wilderness while the Antichrist is running the affairs of the world. And that they're going to understand finally that this was their Messiah. And they're going to cry out to him. And he's going to return. So you see, if Satan can keep the Jewish people from crying out to Jesus, then they can't do the thing they must do before he comes back. And he turns out to be a liar. He can't come. So really, he's trying to do a couple of things. Wipe out the Jewish people so they can't cry out to God, and keep God from keeping his promise so that he becomes a liar and he's not who he said he was. And that kind of puts Satan up a peg, doesn't it? So, if Jesus says, other sheep I have that are not of this flock, bunch of Gentile sheep, picture sheep eating ham, that's weird. But because they only got one row of teeth, you know, what? They don't have uppers and lowers. So how could they eat ham? That's ridiculous. Never mind, keep going. Other sheep I have which are not of this flock. He's referring to us. And if he says, I must bring them, guess what happens to the Gentiles? They get brought. He said, I call my sheep by name. And it was just a little over 19 years ago that Jesus called me by name, called my name in the middle of the night, and found me lost and wandering, and saved me. But you see, this is a promise from God that he will find the Gentiles and that he will bring them in. And if he says here, I must bring them in, then guess what's happening to the Gentiles? There's a whole pack of them getting saved. And that's what's happening today. And that'll happen until that day called the fullness of the Gentiles. And then the rapture of the church and we're out of here. And then God begins to work with the nation of Israel again, just as he promised. So there is a promise embedded in here that most people don't see. He said, I'm going to bring sheep that aren't of this flock. And I'm living proof, and many of you here tonight are living proof that God's word is true and that he is bringing sheep in. And he's making them one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life again that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And there's kind of a cool thing, another little sideline thing here tonight. Who killed Jesus? Some people would say, oh, it's the Jews. The Jews killed Jesus. Didn't believe in their Messiah. Some people would say it was the Romans who killed Jesus. They nailed him up there. And some people who are a little more honest would say, it's me that killed Jesus. My sin he died for. Newsflash. Nobody killed Jesus. Nobody could. He ripped the Romans off at the last minute when he gave up his life. Let it go. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he breathed his last. Nobody killed Jesus. But here's an interesting thing about who raised him. I have power to lay it down. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he breathed his last, gave up the ghost. And I have power to take it again. It's kind of interesting that all three persons of the Trinity were involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It wasn't like he was dead and he was waiting for someone to come rescue him. He raised himself from the dead. Try pulling that one off. It's easy to die. Everybody gets a shot at it. It ain't so easy to raise yourself from the dead. Not many people pull that off. But that's what it says here. In verse 18, it says that Jesus raised himself from the dead. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. So who raised Jesus from the dead? Jesus raised Jesus from the dead. Try doing that one, kids. But it was also the Father who raised him from the dead. Here's what it says in Ephesians 1, verse 17. It's speaking of the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Then it goes on through many clauses after that. When you come to verse 20, still talking about God the Father, it says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So according to Ephesians 1, who raised Jesus? It was the Father who raised him. But that's not all, because there's one more person in the Trinity. There's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead too. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So according to Romans 8, 11, who raised Jesus? The Spirit. They were all in on it. Every one of them, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they were all active in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, having said these things, verse 19, therefore there was a division. Thank God. They weren't all in on this thing. There was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. When it says Jews, it's talking about Pharisees who were hearing him. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? It doesn't sound to me like they were coming through the door, does it? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And that sounds like maybe these guys were hanging out by the door. And maybe, like Nicodemus, some of them came in and got to know him. Okay, John chapter 10. Jesus speaks to the religious leaders about real leadership in the kingdom of God. He uses a couple examples. Talks about the sheepfold, says that he's the door. Talks about the shepherd, says that's him. And we know that the shepherd of Israel is God who dwells between the cherubim. So let's do something practical with this. You're here tonight. You could use the promise of God in your life. And for each one of you, that might mean something different. For those who are struggling with physical illness, it means that you're praying that Jesus would allow the hem of his garment just to brush against you and touch you and heal your body. Can God do that? Sure. For some of you, it's confusion. You're not sure what's going on in your life right now. Things are happening that don't make sense. You don't know why they're happening. You can't make any order or sense out of it yourself. But you believe that God has a plan. For some of us, it's health. For some of it's direction. It could be any number of things. What is it that you want from God tonight? If you don't want anything from God tonight, you haven't checked yourself out, because you're not a finished work yet. You're not perfect. You're not complete. And there's things going on in your life that you probably don't care about or care for. And what do you need from God? You need God to be a shepherd to you. You need him to provide a safe place for you where it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Wolves out there, sure, all over the place. False shepherds who will devour you as fast as the wolves, you bet. And you need a place of safety. Place where you can feel comfortable, place where you can be led to good pasture land, a place where you can drink safely. Whatever your need tonight, whatever you need from the shepherd, his word is filled with promises. If you don't know the promises of God as they relate to your life, come and see me after the service. We'll sit down, we'll open the Word together, and I'll show you the promises that God has made to you so that you can receive them from Him. But how do you do it? How do you walk into the promises? Don't you know people? Aren't you one of them where we're not living in the fullness of what God has for us? We're not living in all the power. We're not living in all the victory. We're defeated and beat up sometimes. Isn't that true? It's true for me. And we don't often live in all that the shepherd has for us. If you don't know where the promises are in the Bible that God has for you, let me assure you, they're in here. And he wants you to know them. And I'll share them with you if you need to see them. But here's how it'll work for you. If you know the promises, if you have to be shown the promises, here's how it works. First of all, you have to be a part of the flock. You have to hear his voice. You have to have a shepherd. Secondly, you have to know that He's the only way. God loved you enough to make a way. Now, if you don't come by that way, you won't find God. I don't care how sincere you are. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care what kind of religious, spiritual person you are. If you don't come through Jesus, you aren't a part of the flock, and these promises aren't for you. You've got to come through the door. And number two, I know these things work because God has made promises. Here's how I know it works for me. God has made promises. If His promises are no good, then Satan wins. And God is not as high as He said He was, and Satan, it appears, comes a little closer to being like God. But the promises of God are all yes and amen. Every single one. The only promises of God that haven't been fulfilled yet are the ones that are going to be fulfilled. Every single one is good. And God's word is good. And God's name is good. So when God makes you a promise, it's solid gold. How do you access it? You just got to come through the door, through the shepherd. You have to be part of the flock. You have to hear His voice. You have to be born again. You have to belong to Jesus. And when you do, every promise of God that concerns your life now belongs to you. And God cannot lie. He's not a man. And God cannot fail. His promises cannot fail. And what has He promised us? Peace? Anybody use peace? I could use like a double helping of peace. You know what? It's yours. It's yours for the taking. All you have to do is come to Him. Wisdom to know what to do, it's yours. It belongs to you as a child of the King. Power, victory over sin, a new life, it belongs to you by the blood of Jesus. It's yours. Can't fail. So tonight, as we finish up this section of Scripture, I just want to pray with you guys. And I'm not praying over you, I'm praying for me too. Okay? Because it ain't my flock. All right? This belongs to Jesus. And even though I have a job to do, when it comes to praying, I'm in the flock. I'm with you guys. I'm one of you. I'm sheep too. And so, Father, tonight, we who are sheep, we just come to You, God. Where else could we go? Who else has ever laid His life down for us? Who else has ever done that? Who else has ever made promises that can't be broken? So, Father, tonight, we who are sheep, we who have come by the door, who are part of a flock, who have a shepherd, we cry out to You, God. And where there's turmoil, we ask for Your promise of peace. Give it to us now according to the name of Jesus. Where there are questions, let there be the wisdom of God which comes down from above, is pure, is peaceable, is gentle, is willing to yield. Where there is confusion, let there be wisdom. By the blood of Jesus, we ask for this thing. Where hearts are in turmoil, bring us to safe places to eat and to drink. Father, whatever the needs are in this room tonight, and You see each one, You see every heart in this room, my heart included, whatever the need is, be a shepherd to us. And bring Your promise into our lives. And help us to know the promises for us. And help us to receive it by faith. Simply because we have a shepherd and He cares for His sheep. We who are sheep, thank You. We say, not bad, Dad. We love You, God. We love Your promises. We love the way You love us. Father, we thank You tonight. Help us to receive everything You have and not miss out on a single inch of it. Every blessing, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, ours in Jesus, we accept, we receive, we thank You, God, in Jesus' name.